Good morning, good morning. Let's go before the throne of grace in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we simply ask that your will be done. Open the hearts and the minds of your people to receive your word on this morning. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All praises to our God, who is worthy to be praised. We do honor God on this morning and our pastor, Pastor Upton. There is a word from the Lord for you on today. So if you don't mind, get your Bibles and turn with me to Exodus. Turn with me to Exodus, the 14th chapter. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. I'm going to read the 1st through the 14th verse. Exodus 14, 1 through 14. There you find these words recorded for our consideration and our discussion on this morning. Then the Lord gave these instructions to Moses. Order the Israelites to turn back and camp by Pi-Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea. Camp there along the shore across from Baal Zephon. Then Pharaoh will think the Israelites are confused. They are trapped in the wilderness. And once again, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and he will chase after you. I have planned this in order to display my glory through Pharaoh and his whole army. After this, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites camped there as they were told. When the word reached the king of Egypt that the Israelites had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds. What have we done letting all those Israelite slaves get away? They asked. So Pharaoh harnessed his chariot and called up his troops. He took with him 600 of Egypt's best chariots, along with the rest of the chariots of Egypt, each with his commander. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, so he chased after the people of Israel, who left with fists raised in defiance. The Egyptians chased after them with all the forces in Pharaoh's army, all his horses and chariots, his charioteers and his troops. The Egyptians caught up with the people of Israel as they were camped beside the shore near Pi-Hahiroth across from Baal Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord and said to Moses, "Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptian. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness." But Moses told the people, "Don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm." And the word of the Lord is already blessed. I want to talk to you this morning from the subject, pivoting faith. Pivoting faith. I solicit your prayers. One of my favorite sports is basketball. I love to watch the game. And occasionally I get out on the court to play the game. One of the established strategies, or one of the established rules in the game, is called pivoting. I don't know if you know what pivoting is, but pivoting in basketball is simply when a player that has the ball has to stay still, but he can step with only one foot. He can go forward, he can go back, but only one foot can move. The other foot must stay on the ground. That's the pivot foot. Pivoting restricts your movement. You can't move forward to the goal the way you want to. You can't move backwards the way you want to. You can only turn and rotate on that pivot foot. So sometimes, depending on who's guarding you, you feel trapped and you feel cornered, you feel stuck. I have a question for you on this morning. What do you do when something is blocking you and you can't move the way you want to? Or you feel trapped. You got the ball, but you can't go nowhere. In this passage of scripture, in this narrative, the Israelites are in a similar situation. They're in a difficult, challenging situation. They literally have nowhere to go. If you remember the story in the previous chapter, chapter 13, the Israelites just left Egypt. They are no longer in slavery. Pharaoh finally let them go. They left their oppressors. They're now headed in the direction of freedom. They're now headed in the direction of independence. They're now headed in the direction of liberation. Then Moses gets a phone call. God calls Moses on his private line And God tells Moses to tell the Israelites to turn back. Look at verse 2. Ordered the Israelites to turn back and camp by the sea. The command to turn back literally means a change in direction. This is where I have a problem. I got a problem with this verse because in the previous chapter, chapter 13, it ended good because the Israelites were leaving Egypt. They were no longer in slavery. They were no longer held captive. They're now free and they're headed in the direction of freedom. They already got away and they were headed in the direction of independence. Now they're free and they start a new chapter in their life, and God starts off this new chapter in their life by telling them to turn around. Why would God tell them to turn around and go back in the direction of the place they just escaped from? It doesn't make sense to me because we were headed in the right direction. We were headed that way. Freedom is that way. My GPS says it's that way and we're going right. I asked Siri. She said, yes, you're going right. I asked Google. We're going right. I even asked some of my friends. My friends said, you know what? We're going right. I even talked to some family members. They said, we're going right. But God says, turn around. What do you do when what God says doesn't match common sense? What do you do when the cloud is making a turn that doesn't seem right? What do you do when your two steps forward feel like three steps back? I need to talk to somebody on this morning that understands that God is always working. Even when you don't see him, he's working behind the scenes. Somebody's going through something this morning, and I need to tell you that whatever you're going through, God has not left you. He has not forgotten you. I know it feels like three steps back. I know it looks like three steps back. You know what? It probably is three steps back. But how many of you know that God knows something about your enemies that you don't know? God sees their thoughts afar off. Watch this, watch this. God knew what Pharaoh would do in certain situations. So God knew that Pharaoh, when he sees the Israelites going the wrong way, that he would assume that their divine help had ran out. God knew that. Pharaoh would assume that when he saw the Israelites turn around, that they must have got entangled in the wilderness. They must have got confused. They must be lost. Their God must have abandoned them. Some of us right now are going through something and the world is wondering, where is your God? You're going through a test. You're going through a trial right now. And your enemies are saying, oh, your God must have abandoned you. Your God must have left you. Matter of fact, you wouldn't even be going through this if God was on your side. I'm so glad. I don't know about you, but I'm glad we serve a God that will never leave us nor forsake us. Even when things are at its worst, God is still at his best. He's in control, even when you don't see him. So Pharaoh sees them and says, they're confused. I got them now. This is our chance. You know what? I made a mistake last time. I let them go. But I ain't going to make that mistake again. I bet you I won't make that mistake again. We're going to make them pay. I'm going to go get them, and I'm going to make them feel like they should have never, they're going to regret ever leaving Egypt. I'm going to make them pay. The Bible says in verse 7 that Pharaoh now is going after them with 600 of his best chariots. It's interesting to me that the Bible points out the fact, this fact, because 600 is a lot. But what gets my attention is not the quantity, but it's the quality. Pharaoh sends 600 of his best chariots. The reason that this is profound to me is because this is a hallmark moment. One of the most recognized slogans in advertising is, when you care enough to send the very best. This is a hallmark moment. Pharaoh sends his best. He got to send his best if he wants a fighting chance. This is exactly how Satan attacks. Satan will send his best to bring you down. Satan will send his best to destroy you. Satan will send his best to discourage you. Satan will send his best to take you out. He got to send his best because he knows who is protecting you. Satan knows who is providing for you. He knows who's keeping you. He knows who's delivering you. Satan knows who is defending you. Imagine this scenario. Just imagine this for a moment in your mind. Listen, Pharaoh's army is chasing the Israelites. They're closing in on them, and the Israelites now turn around and see them in the distance. Watch this. Now the Israelites are getting afraid. They begin to complain to Moses. They said, you brought us back here to die, Moses? What's wrong with you? Why did you bring us back here? We almost got away. We was doing good until you told us to turn around. We was doing good until you told us to go back in other direction for no reason. They wasn't even chasing us where we was. We didn't even see them. We didn't even see them. But now, no, we had to turn around and go back over here by this sea for some crazy reason. And now look, we're stuck. We're stuck. We're cornered. We're trapped. We can't go forward. We can't go back. The army's chasing us. On the sides of us are marshlands. We can't go there. There's a big old sea in front of us. Now what? What are we going to do now, Moses? What are we going to do now? The devil must have been laughing at this point. Yes, the devil must have been laughing. He knew that the Israelites had nowhere to go. I don't know if you've ever played the game of chess before, but I'm reminded of a story about a chess game between the devil and God. And toward the end of the game, the devil had made his move, and he sat back. He was confident. He was relaxed. He said, it's over. That's it. That's the game. He was smiling at his achievement because he made a good move at a critical point in the game. God was looking at the board. His face looked serious and intense. Then God sat straight up and said, yeah, that was a good move. I like it. But you forgot one thing. The devil said, what? God looked at him, straightened his eye and said, it's my turn. I still got one move left. Church, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you remember, it's not over until God says it's over. God always has the last say, and he always has the last move. It doesn't matter how bad things look. We got to look at things from God's perspective. Watch this. Look at verse 13 and 14. But Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. That last verse, it says the Lord himself will fight for you. I like verse 14 because there are times when the Lord will send somebody to fight. And there are times when the Lord will give you the strength to fight. But there are times when the Lord himself will fight for you. I could imagine the Lord saying, you know what? Stand back. Stand back. I got this. I got this all by myself. Please, please just stand back. You ain't got to do nothing but stand there and see what's about to happen. I got this all by myself. Look at what God says in verse 16 through 18. God tells Moses, he says, pick up your staff and raise your hand over the sea. Divide the waters so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground, and I will harden the heart of the Egyptians, and they will charge it after the Israelites. My great glory will be displayed through Pharaoh and his troops, his chariots, his charioteers. When my glory is displayed through them, all Egypt will see my glory and know that I am the Lord. I love that. I want to close with this. Go down with me to verse 31. It says this: when the people of Israel saw the mighty power that the Lord had unleashed against the Egyptians, they were filled with awe before him. They put their faith in the Lord and in his servant Moses. They put their faith in the Lord. Watch this. They was already walking with God in obedience, but their faith wasn't where God wanted it to be. So watch what God does. God showed them who he really is. And the Bible says that they were filled with awe. They were filled with amazement. They were filled with astonishment. So their faith had to move. Since they were filled with this astonishment, their faith had to be realigned. It had to be adjusted. They had to pivot their faith from where it was. Often we as Christians in this Christian walk, we must pivot our faith. Pivoting your faith simply means to refocus your faith towards God. It means to realign your thinking and come into agreement with who God is and what God is doing. You do this because you understand that God is sovereign and that he knows all things. If you do this, you will begin to see the hand of God working on your behalf in a mighty way. God bless you, and may heaven smile upon you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for helping us to come into agreement with you. We know that all things work together for our good. So no matter what it is that we're going through, we know that you will never leave us and you will never forsake us. And for that, we give you all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor. Thank God. Amen. Amen.